Sundays are particularly special and important to me, not only because we get to vote on our leaders, that's important, not only because we get to talk about our budget, that's important, but because it's a time where we get the opportunity as a church to reflect on what God has done in our past, what God is currently doing among us, and what we hope God will do into our future. And so that's what we want to do today. I was reflecting on this, and I was remembering, it was amazing to think about this, but it's already been five fall congregational meetings that I've been a part of as your lead pastor. I'm in my fifth year of leadership. It doesn't seem like it's that long, but it really is. And I was asking the Lord, thank you. I was asking the Lord for a passage of scripture that would sort of encapsulate what these 5 years have been and where we are right now. And the passage he gave me was from Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9. I think David captures this so well when he says, "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good." I love these two little verses because I think they encapsulate David's understanding of God, past, present, and future. He says, currently, I'm flourishing like an olive tree, one that's planted firmly. He looks back and he says, when I look back at everything that God has done, I can't help but praise him. And he says, I'm going to praise him in front of all the people for his faithfulness in the past. And then he looks forward and he says, and I will continue to hope in the Lord because of his great name. And all of this he can do, all of this he can say, past, present, future, because he trusts in the very character of God. What does it say in verse 8? He says, I trust in the unfailing love, the loyal love of God forever and ever, past, present, and future. You know, I think this is sort of an outline of what I want to share with you today about what I think God is doing among us. I want to reflect a little bit on God's past faithfulness. I want to talk a little bit about how God is helping us to flourish as a church, and I want to talk about our hope for the future. You know, in the same way that David was able to reflect back on all the ways that God had rescued him and spared him and blessed him and how God never abandoned him, so we too can look back at God's faithfulness and see his hand at every stage of the life of this church. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in January, this coming year, we're going to be celebrating Brandywine Valley Baptist Church's 50th anniversary. We began this church 50 years ago in 1970, January 1st. It's an amazing thing to think about 50 years of ministry and God's faithfulness here in the church. And we want to celebrate this. We're going to celebrate this as a church over those first two Sundays in January, the 5th and the 12th. January 5th, we're going to look back at all the things that God has done here. It's going to be sort of a blast from the past. It's going to be great. We're going to have photos and pictures, and we'll have a video from a charter members that we shot actually yesterday. Shot that video. You're going to be hearing from Pastor Bo in that message. It's just going to be a great time looking back at what God has done and been faithful to us. And then the 12th, we're going to look forward and we're going to say, what would it look like for God to be faithful in this church over the next 50 years? What would that look like? And so mark your calendars for January 5th and 12th for the service that we're calling Great is Thy Faithfulness. But we want you to participate in this. And one of the ways that you can do that is actually living out Psalm 52:9, which says, for what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. You're going to get an opportunity to do that, in fact, starting today, because we want to hear from you. How has God used this church to be faithful in your life, to minister to your life, to change your life, yours and your family, over these years? And you can actually do that today. You see this number, this phone number up here? You can text any of your stories or your memories or a way that God has shaped you through this church. You can text it there, or you can go right on the website, brandywine.church/50th, And you can write it there. You can submit your entry there. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear your stories if you've been a part of this church for 50 years or 50 days. We want to hear your story whether you're young or you're old. We want to hear from second graders and third graders and fourth graders. And we want to hear from 80s and 90s and any centennials here today. Maybe not today. We want to hear from all of you. And some of you might have, you know, a sentence or two. And some of you might have multiple paragraphs. And we want to hear all of it. And we're going to put all of this together in a powerful and memorable way so that we can keep this together for many years to come. So please do that. If you're not really a tech person, you can actually use pen and paper. Imagine that. You can do that. Write down pen and paper, mail that to the church, or bring it in, and we want to capture those. So please do that. Sooner the better, so we can begin putting those things together. God has been faithful in our past. God is also helping us in our present to flourish. An olive tree, like the symbol that's used here when David speaks, flourishes in all seasons. If, here's really important, if it is firmly planted in the right soil. And the psalmist David, back in Psalm 1, actually talks about that soil, and he says, the one who is delighting in the word of God, in the law of God, is like that tree planted firmly that blooms in its season. See, those who are planted and who are bearing fruit, who are flourishing, are those that are planted in the unchanging, unfading, living and active word of God. That the word of God is their basis, is their grounding for everything that they do. And that's true for this church. The word of God is the foundation for everything that we do. It reveals God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, our hope. It changes us when we obey it and we submit and we yield to it by the power of the Spirit. It changes us from the inside out. And I think this is critical to understand that this is what it's going to look like for this church to flourish, both now and forever, until the Lord comes, is by standing firm in his word. And this is particularly critical in a day and age when, sadly, many churches are abandoning fidelity to God's word. Many churches are wondering how they will keep their doors open. I'm thankful to God and his grace that we are flourishing as a church. I'm thanking God that he has helped us to stand firmly on the word of God, and we're seeing flourishing happening around here. I often like to say, you know, here at Brandywine, thank God we have good problems here instead of bad problems. Problems like, you know, how are we going to get everyone in the sanctuary? How are we going to, you know, take care of the parking lot and get more parking spaces? These are good problems to have. God, by his grace, has been faithful to us. And we have seen flourishing here in this church, a new and diverse people coming through the doors. We're seeing an increase in those who are serving the Lord in ministry. We're seeing increased baptisms and a variety of ministry highlights. You're going to hear from some of our ministry team later about some of those. And God has certainly been helping us flourish financially. Now listen, numbers are not always an indicator of God's blessing or what's happening spiritually in the life of the church, but it is one indicator, and it is one way that we can see how God is blessing us as a church. And we are flourishing, in a season of flourishing financially right now. Over the last 2 years, Brandywine's leadership has come before you and said, we are making it a priority to aggressively pay down our debt that we have on this beautiful building, this sanctuary, and all the classroom space downstairs. We are making it an aggressive habit to pay down this debt. And when I got here, just frame of reference, back September 2015, we had about $5 million of building debt left. And over the last few years, by your generosity and by careful stewardship, we have been building a reserve so that we can begin to pay down that debt more aggressively in this month, in November, when the first opportunity came. In addition to that, back in the spring, we had a handful of generous members say they'd like to match. They'd like to challenge the congregation by giving $355,000, and that every dollar of that they would be willing to match. And so between April and October, we've been challenging you to match up to that $355,000. You want to know how we did on that? Curious how we did? We did not give $355,000, but we did give $525,000. Yeah. That means between April and October, just this year, we have given $880,000 towards paying off that debt in this month, all while ending the year financially in our general budget in the black 4 years in a row. That is God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to this church, and you have been generous as you've placed your tithes, your giving, your finances in God's hands to do more than we can ask or imagine. Now, you'll be hearing more from chairman of our finance committee, Kevin Dombrowski, about those numbers in just a few minutes. But I want to challenge you to tell this story and keep telling the story of what God is doing to your children and your grandchildren as a monument of what God can do when we begin to let him take over. God is at work in this church. I also want to talk a little bit about our future and the hope that we have for our future. The psalmist David, his hope for the future was based on the name of God. That was an ancient way of saying we can trust God to fulfill his promises because he has a good name. He has good credibility to make those promises, to deliver on those promises that he's made. So David was called by God to walk by faith, to trust whatever God told him to do, great or small, knowing that God is big enough to deliver on what he's promised. And so the challenge, the question for us today is, what about us? Are we willing to trust God for whatever he might be calling us to do as a church? Do we trust his good name to deliver what he has promised? Or will we rest on our laurels and say, you know what? We've done a lot of good things in the past. Let's sort of coast for a while. You know, complacency and comfort are two great enemies of any church. And they've been the great enemies of the church globally throughout our history. I mean, just read your Bibles and look at church history and you'll see that that's the case. The great missionary to India, the Baptist missionary William Carey, he came under great conviction that God was calling not only him, but the churches in England to reach the unreached people groups in India. And you know what many of the churches in England said? Said, yeah, you know what? We've done enough. If God wants to reach them, he'll figure out a way to do it. Let somebody else do it. Resting in past laurels. But William Carey had a conviction, and his conviction was the Great Commission to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And he believed, and was quoted as saying, expect great things from God when you attempt great things for God. Friends, my conviction, our conviction as leaders, is that whatever God calls us to do, great or small, as a church, that we will do it, that we will move forward in faith, that whatever God has called us to do, he will equip us to do. That's our promise to you, that we would discern the will of God and walk forward in the will of God, whether that's something that's difficult or scary or costly, that we'll do it. Because I believe that's what faithfulness is all about. We will attempt great things, striving to reach the lost for Christ, discipling the next generation, serving the under-resourced community that is around us, building bridges where bridges need to be built. One thing I believe that God is calling us to do that's for sure over the next couple of years is to place a much greater priority on shepherding the members of this flock. We believe that if we're going to be effective at outreach, it starts with inreach. It starts with shepherding and discipling and training our congregation. It starts with an emphasis on meaningful, engaged, active partnership or membership. It means helping to heal the wounded sheep that are among us. It means knowing you by name. And I believe we can do better and we must do better at this priority. I believe right now as a church, our pastors, we are kind of taking a reactive shepherding posture, and I want us in the future to take a proactive shepherding posture. One of the reasons that we've been more reactive is just a sheer numbers game. We have three pastors and about 1,200 people who call this place their church home. Those numbers don't work so well. And it is our commitment that we do better at that. In fact, our ministry leadership team and our deacon board is coming together to make a plan to better shepherd and to extend the ministry of shepherding here at this church so our congregation can be cared for and known and prayed for and trained and discipled to the best of our ability by God's grace. So pray for us as we seek the Lord, how to best care for you and disciple you, and how to best continue to build a culture of meaningful membership so that we can say for years and years to come, over the next 50 years and longer if God allows, that we are like that olive tree planted firmly in the house of God, that we can look back, reflect on the laurels, not rest on them, and see what God has done to be faithful, and we can continue to look forward with great hope and expectation in God's unfailing, never-ending love. That's the kind of church we want to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been our great shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you have been so faithful to this church over these last 50 years. We look forward to celebrating that in January. We thank you for the abundance that you are pouring out among us. And we pray that as we seek you, that you would reveal more and more to us how you want us to accomplish the mission of introducing people to Christ and helping them follow him. Help us to do that to a greater and greater extent. Lord, we pray for this opportunity that we have now to give. Lord, we thank you for 4 years of ending in the black, and we know, Lord, that's by your grace and by the generosity of your people. And so, Lord, now as we give, we recognize that we can never outgive you. But, Lord, we give back out of the gratitude and the gratefulness that we have in our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A time where we're going to hear from variety of ministry team members. And so you're going to hear from people in on our ministry leadership team. They're going to talk a little bit about children's ministry and student ministry, as well as worship ministry and discipleship ministry. You also hear from Kevin Dabrowski with our finance committee, and he'll give a little bit more of an update. And then you'll also hear, finally, from David Cordray about our nominating committee and our elections that we're going to do in just a few moments. So welcome Christy as she shares with you today.
Good morning. I am Christy Pulig. I'm the director of children's ministry. In our last congregational meeting, I told about Brandywine's core value, discipleship, and how it is intentionally planned into our three main children's ministry environments. Today, I want to tell you a story about one third grade girl who comes to both hours on Sunday, to Awana on Wednesdays, plus VBS, and just about any other event that we have here in Brandywine Kids. This girl had a friend over one weekend. The friend told her that she had always heard that the way to get to heaven was to do good things. She said that if you put the things you do on a scale and the good things outweigh the bad things, you could go to heaven. This third grade Brandywine Kid girl said, "That's not true." See, this girl knew truth, and she recognized when something was not truth. She knew the gospel. She was able to turn to her friend and say, "That's not true. The only way to heaven is through Jesus." She asked her friend if she wanted to put her trust in Jesus. She took the friend to her mom, and that day, that friend put her faith in Christ. Discipleship in children's ministry means we want to make disciples who make disciples. Kids learn the truth of the gospel and are prepared to tell others that truth. Another core value has to do with gospel partnerships. Last weekend, 33 of our third through fifth graders were able to go on the Philly Blitz mission trip. For this trip, we partner with the Philadelphia Project and Roxborough Church. This is a trip where kids don't just go to help adults with ministry. The kids actually lead the way. These 33 kids were divided into smaller groups. Some did construction and maintenance in a home and also in a newly launched church. Some went to a homeless shelter to play with children. Some set up food in a food pantry. And one group packed bagged lunches and handed them out to people who live on the streets in Center City, Philadelphia. Our own kids were going up to homeless men and women, asking if they wanted some food, and also asked them what they could pray for. These 8, 9, and 10-year-old boys prayed over people who had no home. All of our kids were struck by the fact that God could use them right now, not just sometime in the future, but right now. God is using our children to reach the world with the gospel. Please pray that they will continue to know and understand what God's truth is. Pray that they will continue to be bold in following Jesus.
I'm Pastor Matthew, pastor of student ministry and adult Christian education here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. One of our core values as a church is that we are Bible-centered while being generously orthodox. Basically, what that means is that we have certain doctrinal standpoints that we hold fast to, while there's other areas that we believe we can have differences of opinion but still be united in our pursuit of God and united as a body. This past summer, our adult Christian education summer series had the topic of faith and science, meeting just below here in the fellowship hall. We spent 9 weeks hearing from a number of visiting professors, as well as experts from within our own congregation, exploring different approaches to understanding the creation passages in Genesis, as well as some of the current science-related issues and what the Bible tells us about our response to those. We had a great response and turnout. We were averaging between 160 to 200 people down there each Sunday interacting with the different content. One of my favorite weeks was actually one in which we had four people from within our congregation with different expertises serving as a panel. And we collected questions ahead of time to submit to them to discuss and answer in front of the class. And one of the questions that different variations of came from several different people. So if you're one of them, I'm not calling you out. I'm calling all of you out. Was, we've heard several different stances on creation and origins. What's Brandywine's official stance? And I love the question because that's exactly what generous orthodoxy is all about. As a church, we do have some official stances on the nature of God, on the nature of the Holy Spirit, on Jesus, of salvation. You can find our official stances on our church website, on our statement of faith. Then we also have areas where we believe we can have different approaches and different understandings. And this was one of those areas that we don't have an official stance on, because we can have unity as a body while approaching some of these passages in different ways. And I loved seeing our congregation do exactly that week after week over the course of the summer. If you missed out, the audio from each of those weeks is available online. You can get it from our Brandywine Education podcast feed. You can check our church website to get the link to it. You definitely want to check it out. Another core value of our church is thriving families. And one of the ways that we pursue that goal is through the ministry to young people. We want to create a program that teens want to come to, The last thing a parent wants to do is fight with their kid over church. They just want them to want to be a part of the body. And that's one of our goals, is to do that here. This past September, we kicked off the school year with our annual fall retreat. Participation has exploded in this event. Just a handful of years ago, our average participation was around 60 to 80 students and adults. This year, we had 148. It was incredible. It was amazing to see our youth leaders bonding with the teens over the course of the weekend. We played hard. We really want to see kids get literally closer to Jesus. We also spent a lot of time in the Word. We had students leading worship. We focused on launching our student small groups for the year. We also welcomed our newest team member, Elijah Cunningham, to our youth ministry staff. He's called to youth ministry and is excited to serve as our full-time intern as he continues to grow in his youth ministry experience as well as his pastoral leadership. I've loved seeing how he has jumped in and is already making a significant impact with our leaders and our students in such a short time. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Larissa Forrest, Worship and Music Director. I'm going to speak to our core value of excellence, relevance, and innovation in our sanctuary worship. I spoke at the last congregational meeting about our goal to correct some of the audio challenges that we have in this room, and I want to give you an update on the status of that. So first of all, you should know that any changes to our audio system were carefully pursued and chosen by an invested, diverse Brandywine team with our multi-note congregation in mind. And what do we mean by multi-note? Well, we believe that God's people are not one size, one shape, one note, but that He designed us for unity and diversity. And that's another of Brandywine's core values. We're committed to a wide range and variety of musical styles and groups leading our worship on Sunday mornings and beyond. And we believe that reflects the body of Christ most accurately. So we wanted any audio changes to serve a growing multi-note context, to serve contemporary bands, traditional choir, orchestra, children, students, any combination. And we also wanted it to serve you, a body of unique lives and stories gathered to sing to our Creator. So at the end of August, we hired Spinnaker Multimedia Solutions to move forward with a sound system proposal that we felt best fit this goal. And in October, we installed a new speaker system combined with repurposing and repairing several as-built features. Speakers were placed in four strategic locations in our ceiling, and we feel that they are supposed to be better designed to provide clarity and quality of sound, as well as even and consistent coverage in the room. Those were our goals. There have been other upgrades, some unseen, as well as the addition of platform subs, flexible stage monitoring, and some instrument miking. The task is not complete. We are in the midst of the ringing out and troubleshooting stage of the installation. So some of the tasks left to be completed are hiding the exposed cavities in the ceilings. We're currently working with a master carpenter to move forward with an aesthetic plan for that. The removal and resale of superfluous remaining pieces of equipment that will hopefully fund any future sanctuary needs we may have, and to also perform a final comprehensive acoustic modeling and testing of the new system to make sure it's performing as projected and fine-tuning as necessary. And it's extremely important to understand that a proper sound system will not solve sound challenges in a room by itself. It's a tool. And these things are necessary. Proper tools, a committed sound team that's well trained in mixing techniques, and a high quality of musicianship. And they all have to work together in tandem. And our team is committed to excellence in all of these areas. I feel so grateful to have such a talented team working joyfully, serving cheerfully, with servant hearts, striving together for unity toward that end. So pray for us. Encourage the people who serve you on Sunday. Almost the entire team is a volunteer. The ones you see on the platform, the ones you don't see at the booth and behind the scenes. And just know that we pray for you all every week, multiple times a week, every rehearsal. We're praying for you that our technical efforts will be a conduit for what God is doing by his Spirit in all of our hearts to help us worship him. And finally, we urge your patience in the coming months as both our sound team and our musicians relearn how to mix properly for this room and beautifully with the new sound model. We are looking forward to flexing these components in the upcoming music-heavy Advent and Christmas season, and also as we lead you in worship. And beneath all of this, we know that Jesus is our real and true worship leader, and through and even despite of our best strivings, he's the one who ultimately perfects our praise. And so may all of this work serve to amplify the excellence of the one who sings over us. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I am Pastor Todd Johnson, pastor of discipleship. And this fall, we began our third semester of our impactful marriage ministry, Reengage. In the last year and a half, we've been able to minister to over 60 marriages, helping couples not just survive in their marriages, but literally to thrive in marriage. Our Reengage ministry is an outgrowth of our core value here at Brandywine of thriving families. Our Reengage ministry is really geared at helping families, not just couples, not just survive, but really to thrive in everything that they do. Therefore, our hope is that Reengage will then be a catalyst that propels couples to the types of marriages that really reflect Christian virtue to a watching world. One of the great things about Reengage this past semester particularly is that we've had numerous couples attend that are unchurched, and they keep coming back, praise the Lord. While they think they're coming just for some marriage help, in reality what they're finding is much more. They're finding an encounter with Jesus. You can continue to pray for our Reengage ministry in the following ways. Number one, that the couples that are coming and learning what it looks like to thrive in their marriage will then go back to their families and help their families thrive and their communities as well. You can pray for our Reengage leadership team. I always brag about how awesome our team is. Go team. Actually, if you're in our Reengage team, would you put your hand up just so everybody can kind of see who you guys are? They're shyly doing it. These guys, yeah. Pray for them, for all of us, as we continue to forge into the future and figure out the finer details, the nuts and bolts of what God is really trying to procure in this, that God continues to knit us together in unity. And you can also pray for a continued impact in our community. One of the things that's true about Reengage in churches that we've seen who've been doing this for years, even decades, is that eventually about half the people in your Reengage group are from your church and about half are from your community. It really is a community outreach ministry. And as we figure out what does that look like for us to be light here for marriage through the vehicle of Reengage. I also want to just briefly talk with you about our small group ministry. We've identified 2020 as a target year for growth of our small group ministry. You know, about 31% of our regular attenders and members are actively involved in our small group ministry. And while that number is not terrible, what it tells us is that almost 70% of our church is not engaged in small group fellowship. Our small groups play a pivotal role in Christian discipleship because this is where you are going to pray for one another actively each week, where you're going to care for one another as somebody's struggling or goes down, as we reach out together in our small groups and are empowered together by the Holy Spirit. So small groups play a pivotal role in discipleship. It's one of the primary ways that we develop the pattern of multiplication, being disciples who make disciples. To encourage health and growth and multiplication within our small group ministry, here are some upcoming opportunities we want to make you aware of. On November 17th, we're having a small group interest meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to see how many couples and individuals within our church are seeking small group fellowship but haven't been able to connect yet. We're targeting our younger couples and individuals in our church because there already are a lot of open groups for our seniors in our church. But for our younger couples and individuals, we need more groups. The hope is that this meeting will elicit both leaders who are willing to lead and also participants willing to be discipled. In addition, mentor couples have been recruited to help facilitate any new groups that emerge from this meeting. The other thing we want to make you aware of is on the 25th of January, we're having a small group leader training. This small group leader training will be focused on two primary aspects. Number one, the development of new leaders. We always want to be developing new leaders. Number two, emphasizing the multiply model of small group ministry. I've been meeting with all of our small group leaders and kind of talking through what does it look like for us to multiply what we're doing in small group ministry. New and existing leaders at this meeting are also going to be introduced to a new small group leader training manual. This manual is going to help our small group leaders understand their role within the larger church. It's always important to know where you fit. It also will help steer them away from their group just being a social club or a holy huddle and towards a greenhouse of discipleship multiplication is what we want to see. Please pray, church, for the multiplication of our small groups so that we can all be disciples who make disciples. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm going to lift this. Last service I couldn't see as well. I'm Brett Dorsch. I'm honored to represent the Brandywine Valley Ministry team. I'm grateful to be part of a church that makes missions a priority through our time, talents, and treasures. Each month, you hear Pastor Nate present mission spotlights that has hopefully increased your understanding of the various ministries we get to partner with. Today, I want to give you a brief financial overview of the categories and extent of missions giving, as well as highlight a few mission experiences we've had recently and coming up next year. There are three main categories in the actual budget. There's stateside local missionaries, which we spend $95,000 on. Global missionaries, we spend $68,000 on. In-house missions and projects, $72,000. This makes up our missions budget of $235,000. But this only captures budgeted missions giving. In addition, gifts are generally given by you, the congregation, beyond the budgeted missions giving towards initiatives such as student missions trips this summer, which Matthew told me we raised like $78,000. Local ministries like Sunday Breakfast Mission, Door of Hope, Angel Tree, One for Wilmington, our Love and Action offering, as well as Urban Promise, and international partnerships with ministries in Haiti and Ukraine, to name a few. This represents a total of $332,000 additionally, bringing total missions giving to over $567,000. So I'd like you to give yourselves a hand and thank you for your generous giving. So now I'd like to take a moment to briefly highlight three missions that we specifically had this year and one coming up. So Nehemiah Vision Ministry, which is in Haiti, which is geared around towards Esperando Pierre. Last September 2018, Matthew McNutt, myself, and Ed Jones went to Haiti to visit Esperando Pierre's ministry. Esperando pastors a church and oversees the Nehemiah Vision Ministry complex with a school that has over 400 students. While we were there, we visited a local village and saw the poverty that exists. We met a woman and her five children that live in a very small mud hut. Nehemiah Vision Ministry also does humanitarian efforts to share the love of Christ by building homes for those in need. The three of us decided we wanted to build a home, and we chose this woman and her children. The cost was $6,500. And now that family has a sturdy home and hope for their future. This is just one of the many ministries that Esperando and Nehemiah Vision Ministry provide to local Haitians in need. Their complex is a place where we as a church can go and provide help to the local Haitians and share the love of Jesus. Second thing I wanted to share with you is the Ukrainian ministry, which we have been involved with for a very long time. I had the privilege to go to Ukraine this past September with a group of eight of us from the church. We've been going to this area since 1999, so we were there actually not only doing projects, but celebrating 20 years of being together and sharing with them. We were able to see the great ministries that Volek ministers to. While we were there, we were able to help with projects and see the fruits of Volek's ministry. Volek now ministers to three different churches in this area of Ukraine, many coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Although the Ukrainians don't have much, they love to have us over for meals and share their love for Christ. It was a pleasure to see how Volek spends the funds we send and how it's grown over there, the church in the Ukraine. Volek's love for his people allowed God's love to be shown through the communities. And as I was cleaning up my notes this morning, lo and behold, Volek sent me a text, so I just wanted to share it. Today in our church, we had a special service dedicated to the ministry for orphans. Tomorrow is International Orphans Day. Me and Natasha were asking God for healing and prayed that when she feels better, we look to take more children in our family. God is answering our prayer, and we will start looking and praying to show his way in the ministry for the fatherless. Please support us in our prayer. This is the heart of Volek. He has handicap ministry. There's many, many fatherless children over in the Ukraine. Just a lot of it's due to alcoholism. And he's not only a pastor, but he's the mayor and provides jobs and a lot of other things. So just thought I'd share that with you. And last but not least, we have a new missionary in Africa. Our new missionaries in Africa are Pastor Steve and Mary Jenga. They will be our guest missionaries for Missions Month in February. We're also planning to send a volunteer team there this summer. This is the first time in many years we've been able to support a new missionary. The Jengas have a similar setup to the ministry in Haiti. They have a church, a Christian school, and the ability to house missions teams for projects. This allows us to take teams to Africa and be involved with their ministry. We're excited to be able to take a team in 2020. So in saying all that, there's so many more stories I could share, but we certainly don't have the time to do that. My challenge to you is this. Would you consider taking a missions trip in 2020? Maybe instead of one vacation week. I will guarantee you one thing. We go to bless, but trust me, you come home blessed. We plan on scheduling three adult missions trips in 2020. Please talk to me or one of the missions team members for questions or if you have an interest. It's been a pleasure serving you as a missions coordinator. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kevin Dombrowski. I am the chairman of the finance committee, and today I'm going to provide a brief update on the finances, but really just focus on debt paydown. And before I jump into the numbers, the reason that we're talking so much about debt paydown right now, just to refresh your memory, is 10 years ago, we locked into a 10-year arrangement that did not allow us to pay down beyond the principal and interest payments. So really, right now, this month, it's the first time as a church that we can begin to aggressively pay down debt beyond a stated principal and interest payment. So moving into the numbers, Pastor Nate already explained the very exciting numbers behind the match opportunity, so I won't belabor that point, but this is not all. This is actually just one of three components. That $880,000 is one of three components that's going to be used for debt paydown. As the next slide will show, really we're talking about three things: that match opportunity, plus any debt reduction that has been given over the last 10 years outside of that match opportunity has resulted in $450,000 that will be added in addition to that $880,000. Also, as Pastor Nate explained, as a church, we've been in the black for the last 4 years, so excess giving that is beyond what is required from the general fund budget, that is beyond what is required for reserves, for facilities and operations, and what is beyond working capital requirements. This number has not been locked down, but it's going to be right around $830,000. So when we're talking about debt reduction, what we're talking about is nearly $2.2 million to be applied against the remaining principal of debt. So I'll stop right there for some claps. So in the context of everything, 10 years ago, we had $6.1 million of remaining debt. As Pastor Nate explained, it was about $5 million when he joined. Now, with this, we're actually going to be bringing down debt to about $1.55 million. So the light is at the end of the tunnel. That's not all that's good news. Additionally, this gives us the flexibility to refinance that debt. And really, over the last 4 months, what we've focused on is ensuring that we're locked into a financial package that's in the best interest of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. And there's a lot of components that went into that, but really there was two main components that we focused on. One was getting the lowest interest rate possible, and two was being able to prepay debt. As I mentioned, the last 10 years we couldn't do that. So what we now have and what we're locking into is an interest rate that's going to be right around 3.9%, so almost half the interest from before, and the ability to prepay as much as we want with no penalty. And so why is this important from an interest rate perspective? The lower the interest, the more that our payments go towards debt repayment and the less that goes towards banks for financing purposes. So how does this change the general fund budget? It doesn't at all. The ministry leadership team and the Board of Deacons is still committed to aggressively pay down debt. In the general fund budget, that number is $247,000 to be paid against debt. The only big change is any giving that you would just mark as debt reduction would immediately be applied towards debt reduction, whereas before it was saved in a separate account to be used this month. So in summary, this is a very exciting time for Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. Usually the finance guy is giving all the bad news. I get to give the good news, and that's because of all of your generous giving. So thank you so much for making our job easy. And as Pastor Nate explained, we're approaching the 50th year of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. This right here is helping lay the financial foundation. So 50 years from now, we'll be celebrating the 100th year of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. So thank you.
Good morning, Brandywine. I'm David Cordray, and I am serving as the chairman of the Deacon Board. Before I give you a very brief update on the nominating committee, I hope you enjoyed very much hearing about all the wonderful things God is doing here at Brandywine. And he's doing it through an incredibly talented and gifted ministry leadership team. And would you join me in please thanking our ministry leadership team? We are truly blessed. So each year in November, we elect the members of the permanent committees, the Board of Deacons, as well as various other committees. Several weeks ago, you received a brochure in the mail that has the candidates in the brochure, so you can read about them. These men and women have agreed to serve, and I want to thank them for their willingness to do so. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." You know, when each of us is using our gifts, our entire Brandywine church family, as well as those we seek to serve, benefit. You've probably heard Nate say, we want 100% spiritual employment in the church. It's an honor and a privilege to serve, and when you are asked to serve, I encourage you to prayerfully consider it. I also want to thank the current nominating committee, Martha Summers, John Robinson, Tim Curra, Jerry Panabaker, Hope Glavin, and our deacon representatives, Ralph Swackenberg and Phil Woodworth. They spent many hours meeting and praying to identify the candidates who would be a good fit for each position. And finally, in just a few minutes, please sit tight. I ask you to stay for the congregational meeting where we will vote on these candidates. Thank you.
I also want to just ask that that you would thank this man, David Cordray. He's been serving on the deacon board many of those years as vice chairman, the last 3 years as chairman of the deacon board, so working very closely with me, which is a lot to put up with, so thank you for that. And he's going to be rolling off the deacon board. And so can you stand and can you thank him for his leadership? Thank you. Appreciate it. So, like David said, sit tight. In fact, we're going to start in just about 2 minutes. Let some folks come in who are going to be also voting. Our children's ministry is going to be extended over the next 10 minutes or so while we're in this meeting. And so, again, whether you're a member or a non-member, we'd invite you to stay. Thank you.